Good morning and welcome to our podcast series. My name is Eric Perez and this morning we have Keith Harris with us. How are you, Keith?
I'm good, thanks, Eric.
Look, thanks for joining me today. The topic area that we're looking at is where we're at in the reform process, and in particular, now that we've gone some way to looking at down the barrel of quota managed fisheries in our finfish fisheries and our crab fisheries, I just wanted to get your perspective on, now that we've got some controls potentially on the way, irrespective of government not really listening to what we had to say about those controls, what do you think the lay of the land looks like for the recreational sector in terms of controlling their take?
I could speak from the crab fishery point of view, as being on the working group, that the bag limit for recreational sector is being looked at. What it will be settled on is another matter. That's still obviously up for debate. As far as the finfish species go, I believe that the working groups set up for that are not really looking at bag limits, which disappoints me greatly. I think if we're to reach the target that's been set of 60% biomass in the time frame required, I think everybody has to put their shoulder to the wheel to reach that target. It just seems grossly unfair that one stakeholder should wear the burden of responsibility of getting us to that target.
Okay, so in that sense, if that's what's happening with the inshore fin fishery, then what's the lay of the land look like in terms of the crab fishery?
Well, we have spoke about reducing the bag limit commensurately with any reduction in commercial effort, which basically means that if the commercial sector is allocated 30% less than what they just traditionally catch, well, the bag limit would go down the corresponding percentage. And if it went 50%, well, the bag limit would be reduced by 50%. That's still up in the air. I know the minister has stated that, you know, they're looking at a bag limit of, what was it, 6 to 8? I can't recall the correct figures now, but I think with the commercial effort out, the recreational effort out there in the crab fishery, and some figures which we're going to touch on later, I guess, shows that there is a considerable amount of tonnage taken out of the fishery. So, I sincerely hope that we all work together with this, both sides, through the minister, and come up with a sensible solution. That is, everybody pitches in and helps to get where we want to be.
Okay, so for the listeners to the podcast, the document that Keith is referring to is a document that we've come up with about the potential impacts of recreational take across 5 different species, one of them being mud crab and the other 4 being commercially and recreationally targeted finfish species. And the scenarios are based on for the finfish species of 0.25% up to 1.25% of all recreational fishers potentially fishing those stocks. And for the mud crab fishery, by way of example, we extended that to 3%, 5%, 7% and 10% of the potential 642,000 wreck fishers in this state. We went with those numbers at that smaller end just to see what we would find from the assumptions. Now, one of the assumptions is inbuilt into what we've done is that everyone that could go fishing from that percentage of recreational fishers is taking the maximum amount of either crab or fish that they can. So that would vary from trip to trip and year to year, but it gives you a very bleak look at potentially how much is being taken out by the rec sector, even using very small numbers. And that's something that's not openly discussed by Fisheries Queensland, nor has it been openly discussed by government. And so if they're not going to put out these kind of figures or at least have the discussion, then we're going to do that. So what, from the figures that you've seen, Keith, and again, we will share these on the podcast as well as sending these out to members in the first instance, what were your thoughts on the numbers without going into too much detail at this stage?
Well, they reveal the fact that even though we use such a small number of amateur fishermen, the potential to take a lot more as the percentages rises is, it's astounding, really. And I think it's way beyond time someone has sat down and done the work on this. And I thank board members that put time into doing putting this together, as well as yourself, Eric, to highlight the fact that this is something that sits in the back of the cupboard and doesn't see the light of day very often. But we've brought it out to show everybody what the real impact is, and the possible impact is as the percentages go higher. So, yeah, I'm just hoping that that someone actually listens, either in the department or the ministerial office, and treats it with the respect that it deserves, and hopefully we'll get some feedback from the minister on this or his department.
Yeah, so my view on this, and thank you for your thoughts on that, Keith. I think one of the things here is that industries never calls for a complete halting of recreational fishing, because we all recreational fish when we can get the opportunity, or at least try to. The issue is about having fairness in managing the stocks for the future. So the narrative that's been coming out of the department is, well, we've got to protect those stocks for the future. Well, if that's the case, then if we're going to be capped and our effort is going to be looked at under the microscope, then we need to start having that discussion in a more frank way with the recreational sector. And the hope here would be that as much as the conservation sector has never been friendly to us, that they start looking at these numbers and putting some pressure back on the rec sector to look at their take and to consider bag drops as part of their share of doing the heavy lifting to supposedly get sustainable fisheries outcomes. And I say this with some hesitation, because we've gone out publicly and we've debated this amongst industry, and we put this out to the public that we don't think that there is a sustainability issue from the commercial side of things, because we are highly regulated. That discussion isn't had too often with those that are not as highly regulated, and this is an opportunity for the government to look at this. I have no doubts that there'll be politics involved in this, but at least we're having the conversation and we're prepared to look at the assumptions that are in there and try to get something that is reasonable in the long term. So, Keith, from your experience and from a broad perspective, do you think there'll be some action on this, or will it fall on deaf ears?
Eric, can I just pick on something you said a little bit earlier in that conversation then, was about sure. protecting the stocks for the future?
Yep.
I'm just wondering, and I have concerns over who we're protecting the stock for. Are we protecting the stock for all or Queensland people who like to eat seafood, or are we protecting them for for another stakeholder group? I'm a bit bewildered there. What the protection is for? I'm hoping it's for the accessibility of all Queenslanders into the future, that the stocks will be there so we can go out and catch it for them to eat it, and that part disturbs me a little bit as to whether we're going to go out there and catch it, and if we can, are we going to be allowed to catch enough for those people out there that want to eat it? Now, what was your other question again? Sorry.
No, you've there wasn't really a question. It was more me making some observations, and that pretty much ties things up here, is that who are we protecting the stocks for? And in the longer term, where you have fisheries that are contested, so us, recreational, charter, and to a far lesser extent, Indigenous take, we need to be realistic about the, the management options that are there to control what we take. And at the moment, if history is any guide to this, that the government may do very little to upset that stakeholder group, and that's always disappointing. But the opportunity is there for them to take a leadership role. They made it fairly clear in the government strategy document that everyone had to adjust for the future, and by everyone I think that means everyone that has a stake in the fisheries, as well as that is interacting with the marine environment. So just to finish off, Keith, as any final thoughts from you, do you have anything to add before we finish the podcast?
Yeah, just one thing, Eric. I think the way that I see this sustainable fishery strategy going at the moment is the goalposts seem to be moving rather regularly. We seem to have a bit of a chat about things. I can just speak in regard to the crab working group here, nothing else. We seem to have a bit of a chat about a few things, and we settle on things and we go away, and then later on the goalposts to move either left or right or whatever it might be. I think fishers are getting a little bit tired of the uncertainty, which just keeps going on and on and on. At some stage or other, I think someone somewhere has got to make a decision and stick to it.
Okay, to get some surety for the future. Yeah, I agree, Keith.
Yes. Look,
thank you for your time. It's much appreciated for everyone's just as a reminder, we've been chatting today with Keith Harris, QSIA President, and thank you for your time, and we'll be talking again about this, and I'm sure there's going to be questions around the stats that we'll publish in due course. I think it's worth an in-depth conversation, and it will start a discussion, which is a good thing. So thank you, Keith.
Okay, thank you, Eric. Anytime.
Cheers. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you on the next podcast.